Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you on this Resurrection Sunday as we celebrate our risen and conquering King, the one who rules and reigns supreme over all. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Oh, our great and loving God, on this day that we celebrate your victory over sin and death, we praise you for all that you have done. Father, we thank you for your great love with which you loved us in sending forth the Lord Jesus to die for our sin. Lord, this morning as we gather to worship you through song and now through the hearing of your word, Lord, I pray that you would cause us to be attentive, that, Lord, we would think upon Christ and that we would love him and we would worship him. Lord, I do pray that you would be with me as I speak. May I know the unction of the Spirit, the liberty that comes from you, and may I set forth Christ in his glory. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, in 2009, an independent survey was conducted in Australia in which they wanted to gauge the spiritual beliefs of the nation. And one of the questions that was asked on this survey was, what do people believe in relation to Jesus Christ? And the results of those questions were fascinating. 45% of those interviewed believed that Jesus at some point rose again from the dead. But what makes those numbers really truly interesting is this. Out of that 45%, 85% of them identified as being non-Christian or having no religious belief. Other results from the survey found that 57% of people knew that Easter had something to do with Jesus dying on the cross, whereas 87% knew that it had something to do with his resurrection. And then there was 4% that got confused between Easter and Christmas. Now, these numbers are interesting, but it doesn't actually give us the full picture. These questions and these surveys merely ask people what facts they believe about Easter and about Jesus Christ. And it's quite common for people each year to come to church, to come to an Easter celebration, to celebrate Jesus and what he has done, but not really understand why Jesus had to do this death, burial and resurrection thing. I mean, think about it. We come on Friday to church to celebrate Jesus who died. Then on Sunday we come again to celebrate him rising again from the dead. But oftentimes we can just think this is a historical fact that we're remembering. We miss the big picture of why it is Jesus had to die. When I lived in the UK, the churches over there tried to counter this problem by telling society about the why. And what they did was this. They actually made up an Easter egg with the real message of Easter on it. And you could buy it in all the supermarkets, and you'd go in, and on the back would have a little blurb about what Easter is truly about. And that went a little way of explaining the why of Easter. So why is it that we celebrate? Why is it that we remember 2016 years after someone died? Why is it we remember his death, burial, and resurrection? Many people have died throughout the years, including many who have been crucified, but we don't celebrate them. We don't get a few days off to remember those people who died. So what makes the death and resurrection of Jesus something worth remembering? Well, to answer those questions, we actually have to understand the why. We have to get at the big picture of Easter. We have to understand why all this is important. You see, Easter is an important event, as Easter reveals to us the character and nature of God. But it also reveals to us what we are truly like. Easter declares to us that God is holy, that God is just, and that God is righteous. It also tells us that God will punish wrongdoing. Yet at the same time, it declares that God is loving, kind, and merciful, and is willing to forgive those who have wronged him. The message of Easter is the message of the greatest love God has ever shown towards humanity. It's the most important thing we can hear and know about. That message is something we must understand. It has been rightly observed that Easter is really God saying to the world, I love you. But why do we need that love? Why do we need this Jesus? What is the message of Easter and why do we need it? Well, in the verses we had read to us before, we read these verses in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. This morning what I want us to do is just look at those two verses to unpack what is going on at Easter and to get at the heart of why Easter is so needed for you and I today. You see, many people think Jesus had to die for some weird and wonderful reason. Why did he have to die? Well, recently I saw a man on television from the US, of course it comes from the US, saying Jesus was social action Jesus. And the reason he had to die was because he opposed the oppressive government in his day. Jesus was a political martyr, this man said. Another person said, no, Jesus died merely as an example of how you should live. I wanted to ask the guy, does that mean you should go out and be crucified right now? If Jesus is that example, are you going to go to a cross? No, Jesus died for more than any political reason. He didn't die to make a point against government. He didn't die to show us the right way to live. Rather, Jesus died because of the way we have been living. See, the text tells us that Christ died for our sins. That's the reason. The reason of Easter is because we have done something wrong. The message of Easter is that we have sinned against the God who made us, yet Christ, in an act of love, took the punishment that we rightfully deserve. That's why we celebrate. We celebrate because our sin can be done away with because of the person of Jesus Christ. It was our sin that made Easter necessary. We sinned against God. We did that which is wrong. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. It doesn't matter your country of origin, your background, your wealth, your political persuasions. It doesn't matter your religious background. The truth of the matter is this. We have all done wrong against our Creator. We have all sinned against the God who made us. From the youngest to the oldest, we are all guilty before the great and mighty God. We've all sinned. We are all by nature guilty of treason. We have rebelled against our Creator. The Bible says, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. That's an all-encompassing statement. That's a statement that includes every single person, myself included. None of us can say that we're perfect. None of us can say we haven't sinned. Now, I've met some people who will go, well, look, I've done wrong things. Look, I'm not perfect, but I've never called myself a sinner. Some people say the title sinner is reserved for murderers and rapists and thieves and men like Adolf Hitler. We might be quick to justify ourselves to say they're the bad people. Look, we're not perfect, but we're definitely not a sinner. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this. What is a sinner? Well, a sinner is a person who sins. It makes sense when you think about it that way. A liar is a person who tells lies. A murderer is someone who murders. Therefore, a sinner is someone who sins. Now, we might not like the title, but it's the title the Bible gives us. You know, the Bible doesn't actually speak one complimentary word about the human race. The Bible says there's none that do good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that even seek after God. Jesus said God alone is good. We aren't. The Bible says we've sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standard. And that's what makes Easter so vital. It's because of our sin that we need Jesus to come, die on the cross, and rise again from the dead. Our sin is what makes the death of Jesus so vital. You might say, well, look, you know, I don't like that title of being called a sinner. I don't think I've really done that wrong. And you'll be amazed how many people actually say they've never sinned. Sin is breaking God's rules. Sin is doing what we shouldn't do. And you know what? If we were able to hold up God's law, God's rules before you today, you'll start to realize that, in truth, we have sinned. And guess what we can do? we can hold up God's rules. In my hand, we have the Ten Commandments. I know they're slightly small, but the impact is great. But on the back of the Ten Commandments is this. A mirror. Now, this is not an original, just so you know. This is not the one Moses had. Now, on the back of this Ten Commandments, we have a mirror. And the reason we have a mirror is because it illustrates what the law of God does. You know, in the morning when you wake up, if you like me, one of the first things you do is look in the mirror and see what damage a good night's sleep has done overnight. Your hair might be wild. Well, for some of you, your hair might be wild. Might be sticking out everywhere. Your teeth might be a bit yellow. Perhaps there's even a pimple or two you've got to squeeze out. The mirror shows what you look like in truth. The mirror shows what you look like on the outside. It doesn't lie to you and say you're a good-looking thing. No, it says you're terrible. But the mirror shows us the truth of the outside. And God's law, the Ten Commandments, is a mirror also. It's not a mirror for the outside, though. It's a mirror for the soul. It shows us what we look like on the inside. It shows us that we have sinned against God. For instance, commandment number 9 says, don't lie. We tell lies, we're not always honest. The 8th commandment says, don't steal. But we take things that don't belong to us. The 6th commandment says, don't murder. And we also were safe from that one. But God says his standards are a lot higher than ours. He says the mere thought of hatred is the same as murder. The 1st and 2nd commandment deal with how we should worship God and seek God. It says he should be number one and we should worship him with all our heart, mind, soul and strength. The problem is we don't. God is not always number one in our life. The commandment that is the favourite of all parents. My mum made me learn this one. I didn't like this commandment. Honour your father and mother. Commandment number 5 when I was a kid. Now I'm a dad. I love that commandment. It's a simple commandment, but think back to your childhood. Did you always honour your parents? You see, when we start to look at the commands of God, we start to look at his law, we start to see what we look like in truth. We see that on the inside we have done wrong. We're sinful. And you might say, well, I've only broken one or two of the Ten Commandments, it's not that big a deal. Well, the Bible says if you keep the whole of the law of God and you break it in just one point, you're guilty of breaking it all. It's like this. Imagine you're hanging off a cliff. I don't know why you're hanging off a cliff, but you're hanging off a cliff. And you're holding onto a chain for dear life. And that chain has 10 links in it. It doesn't matter if 9 of the links are still intact. It only takes one to break and you're going to plummet to your death. And it's the same with God's law. You might say, well, I've kept 9 out of the 10. Well, that one is enough to say you sinned against God. And the breaking of the law of God, the breaking of the commandments of God, shows that by nature we are sinful. It shows that we have done wrong. It shows that even though God has given us every good and perfect gift, even though he loves us and cares for us, it shows that we aren't interested in him. Instead, we want to be the masters of our own destiny. We want to be the captain of our own soul. We turn our back and we sin. But you know what? Sin is not a trivial thing. Sin is not something that we should look at lightly. Sin is an offence to the holy God. Sin is something that has dire consequences. In fact, you want to know how desperately bad your sin is? Look to the cross. It cost God's Son his own life to pay for it. Our sin is that much of an offence to God, it took God himself to die to resolve the problem. You see, God, because he is good and just and righteous, must punish wrongdoing. That's bad news for us because we're the ones deserving wrong for punishment for our sin. The Bible says the soul who sins it shall die and the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sin and we all deserve to die eternally in hell because of our sin. I know you may not like that, you may find that offensive, but that's what the Bible says. The Bible says this is what we all deserve. And you might hear that and go, hang on, this is Easter? Why are you even talking about this? This is what makes Easter so important. This is why we celebrate Easter. Our sin said we should die. Jesus died for us. Isn't Easter about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection? Yes. But it was our sin that made that so needed. Our sin said we should die, but the incredible love of God, the incredible mercy and kindness of God says, I will die for sinners. I will take the punishment they deserve. As the Bible says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. This is the why of Easter. Why do we need Easter? Because our sin demands death. Why do we celebrate at Easter? Because God has shown kindness. He's shown love. He's shown mercy towards a people that don't deserve that. We deserve to go straight to hell, but in love, God himself, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, steps into this world and dies as a substitute on the cross for the sins of his people. The justice of God said sin must be paid for. The love of God stood in the gap and said, I will pay the penalty for sin. As the Bible says, God shows his love for us. And that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ is a substitute. He died in the place of sinners. He never sinned once. He was perfect. He didn't die for his sin. He had none. He died for us. Think of it this way. Imagine you're watching the footy. You're enjoying a good game of football. You see your favourite player get injured. What happens? Well, the substitute comes into the field and plays the game in the place of the injured player. And that's what Jesus did. We were dead in our sin because of our rebellion against God. Yet Jesus Christ, our substitute, comes into the field. He comes to this earth to live the life that we could never live and to die the death that we should have died. He plays the game in our place. He dies on the cross, he's crucified, he's dead, he's buried. But the message of Easter doesn't finish there. Listen again to the verses that we read earlier. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Not only did Jesus die on the cross, not only was he crucified, dead and buried, but the text tells us he was then raised from the dead 3 days later. That is why on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, we come back to church and we say, he is risen. He is risen from the dead just as he said he would. Jesus had power to lay down his life and he had power to take it up again. And because he's taken up his life again, it shows us that the penalty of sin has been paid for. Death has been defeated. The grave has no more victory. You no longer have to suffer and die for your sins. You no longer have to face hell because of what Jesus has done. That's why we celebrate. That's why we remember. Our sin said we should die and go to hell. Jesus steps in. He says, I will die for sinners. He is buried. He rises again from the dead. And now he says, you can be forgiven. You can be made brand new. You can have heaven when you die. That's why we celebrate. The grave could not defeat Jesus. Death could not restrain him. Jesus Christ died and he rose again victorious as the all-conquering King. This is good news. The bad news is we deserve to die. The good news is Jesus has paid it all. That's wonderful news. And I've had the privilege of preaching the gospel many, many times and I still stand in complete amazement at this. That God would love me, a sinner. That Jesus would die for me, one who rightly deserves death and hell. It's beyond comprehension. It's truly amazing to say Jesus loved me, and he gave himself for me. Yeah, that is the truth that every person who has been forgiven can say. Jesus loved me, and he gave himself for me. And at this Easter time, if you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, today you can know that forgiveness of sins also. You can know new life that only comes through Jesus Christ. You see, the message of Easter is more than just some historical facts about Jesus dying and rising again. The message of Easter says you've done wrong, but Jesus has paid the fine. The message of Easter says you deserve to die, but Jesus died for you. The message of Easter says that you should face hell, but Jesus says, because I rose again, you can have new life. But what do we do with that information? It's one thing just to have a bit of head knowledge about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We can sit back and say, well, that's nice, but you know what? That won't actually help us. The Bible says we must come to the one who died and rose again. We must embrace him by faith. We must turn from our sin and trust in him. The Bible says in order to be forgiven, in order to experience this new life of forgiveness of sins, you must repent. That is, you must do a U-turn. You must turn from the law break. You must turn from the sins that you have committed. You must turn from them and turn to Jesus and Jesus alone. See, this is the only way of forgiveness. This is the only way we can have heaven when we die. It's the only way we can be made brand new. Only through Jesus. Going to church, reading your Bible, being baptized, being a member of a church, all good things will not help you get to heaven. Trying to live a good life and earn your way to heaven by what you do will not get you to heaven. It will not get you forgiveness of sins. If those things could make you right with God, then Jesus would never have had to die upon the cross. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus says that's the only way. It's the only way man can be made right with God. It's the only way we can be forgiven. Therefore, repent, turn from your sins, and turn and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender to him. Surrender to the one who died according to the scriptures, who was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. Surrender to him, trust in him. Even though this message is 2,000 years old, it is a message that still impacts people to this day. And any Christian who has been forgiven can testify to the truth of Jesus transforming their life. And this morning, if you're sitting here saying, well, I haven't had my sins forgiven, you don't know what I've done, know this. Jesus knows what you have done. He knows already the sin you've committed. And he says he stands willing and ready to forgive you. He can make you brand new. The old, gone, the new will come. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is. So as I begin to close, let me ask you, this Easter, have you trusted in Christ? Are all your sins forgiven? Are you sure, with certainty, that you'll go to heaven when you die? Do you know Christ? The message of Easter is God coming to rescue sinners. Have you been rescued by the Lord Jesus? Every single person within the sound of my voice this morning will make some decision in regards to Jesus. You can't be indifferent to him. You can't sit on the fence. It's either all for Jesus or none for Jesus. Jesus has to have all of you or he will have none of you. Will you surrender completely to Jesus? You can't be indifferent. Someone will say, yeah, I need to trust in Christ. I need to follow him. That's the decision you will make and that's wonderful. Some will say, no, I'm not interested, I'll think about it later, by saying that you are turning your back on the Christ and continuing in your sin. What will you do with the Lord Jesus this morning? This Easter, think about your sin. Think about God's love and mercy shown at the cross. Think about the Saviour who died and rose again. And then turn from your sin and trust in him. This morning, God holds out his hand offering you forgiveness of sin. It's a free gift you cannot earn. Would you take that free gift? This day, God would say if you call out to him, he would hear you, he would answer you, and he'll make you brand new. This morning, if you're here and you say, I need to trust in Christ, then please come and talk to me afterwards or talk to the pastor. We'd be more than happy to introduce you to the Lord Jesus. I can't think of any higher privilege to be able to tell you about Christ. I'd encourage you, think upon Christ, come to him. Also down the back, on the back table, you'll notice this book. It's called The Essential Jesus. It's basically the biography of Jesus. It explains who he is, what he did, and how you can know him. They're free of charge. If you want to trust in Christ, then please take one, read it. If you want more information, please take one, read it. They're free. We just want you to come to know Jesus. So check out the claims of Christ for yourself. This Easter, look to the Lord Jesus. He's so loving and kind to die for sinners and to rise again, and now offers forgiveness of sins to all those who would come to him. Let's pray together. Oh, our loving God and Father, we thank you for your great kindness. Oh, Lord, there was nothing in us that made us worthy of your love and mercy. Yet in a free act of grace, you came and rescued us. Lord, at this Easter, I pray that we who are believers would look again at the cross and worship Jesus for all that he has done. May we love him and serve him. But Lord, for those here this morning who have never trusted in you, who don't know you, then Lord, would you pursue them by your Spirit? Would you convict them of sin and bring them to the Saviour? Oh Father, we look to you and acknowledge that you must save and you alone. That Father, you must draw men and women to Christ. We pray that this day you would draw them, that they would come to Christ, confessing their sins and trusting in the Saviour. We pray you do all these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.